had fundamental changes in the structure of society, and particularly at the replacement of the authoritarian state by some form of non-governmental cooperation between free individuals.
You're listening to a collaborative radio project between Miami Autonomy and Solidarity and Recomposition Blog. Today we speak with Marianne, a student active in the occupation at the New School in New York that happened during the Occupy Wall Street struggles. This is Scott Napolo speaking with Marianne from the New School about what happened during occupation that occurred at that school. So can you kind of say how the occupation happened and what the demands were, what the struggle was about, why the New School was occupied?
So when Occupy Wall Street started on September 17th, shortly after that, a body formed that was basically an all New York City group of university students who started meeting, started hosting public talks, and as the movement, as OWS was heating up, started to get a bit more radicalized. And then a big national day of action around education was planned for November 17th. And in the weeks and days leading up to that, some people in this all-city student group decided they wanted to have an occupation on that day. And it ended up working out kind of well because there was a mass mobilization of students, and we left from Union Square, which is right near the New School, and immediately the police blocked off the march and weren't allowing it to proceed. We weren't, you know, nobody's getting permits for marches around OWS, but the cops knew this was going to happen. And in other cases, they've just let these marches take place, but this one, they weren't even letting it proceed. It wasn't a matter of keeping it to the sidewalk. So there was this pool of people right outside of the building that we wanted to occupy. They kind of helped us out, and they weren't letting us go into that building at first. So obviously they'd gotten wind of our plans, but I guess at some point our administration told them to back off, and they did. And we went in and we took the building, and there were probably, I mean, the number of people, I'll say, was more than 100, but I won't say how many it was, because I can't be sure. But we held that space, the second floor of this study space, for I think almost exactly 7 days. And it dissipated for a number of reasons. There was kind of a willingness to leave as well as an eviction, and then it was just Thanksgiving, so everybody kind of had to go someplace else. So
it sounds like there was a national call that happened outside of you all. How did the New School end of things come about? Was there like a group that was meeting, a series of groups? Was it kind of spontaneous? Or how did the actual move to pick the target of an occupation, all that, get worked out?
Well, to clarify, it wasn't a national thing. It was really a New York-based thing, and solidarity links started to form between New York and California when that tear gas or pepper spray incident started. But at this point, this occupation was just a New York City student thing. And as for how it was chosen, you know, we'd been having these meetings, right? And at some point, some people decide that this is a tactic that they want to pursue. And I forget, I actually wasn't at all of those meetings, so I don't remember how the New School was chosen, whether it was sort of volunteered by New School students or whether it was just determined that this would be an appropriate place geographically. Which it did end up being, but that's how that happened. I don't remember the rest of your question.
Well, so basically it sounds like there were some meetings, and one way or another the tactic was chosen. How was it that it actually came together? Do you think it was these meetings, the organizers planning it, or was it more that there was a day of action, people were coming out anyway? Like, basically, was it something that kind of happened in the moment around Occupy Wall Street, or was it concrete, people going, talking to students, agitating them, recruiting them, telling them to take this action, occupy a building?
No, this was totally spontaneous. This is just students coming together. And the reason why the suggestion of an occupation came up in the first place is because at the time, and so you got to think people are meeting in October, November, people were excited about the idea of occupation, right? Because in Zuccotti Park, this seemed to be a really eye-catching, great tactic. So, and it still comes up, although less frequently, in these meetings where people are like, let's occupy something, right? And in the event, Zuccotti was evicted 3 days before we started our occupation. And so at the last minute, it kind of became this thing where we wanted to have an indoor space, because nobody had one at that point, where we could allow people to come in from the cold and come in, you know, from OWS, even though it was very much still a student-oriented thing. So I wouldn't say that anybody was, there was a sort of organizer, organizee structure to any of this. It was just students coming together and big groups of students. I mean, eventually the New York City All-City Student General Assembly, or whatever it was called, there were hundreds of people involved in that, and they were all from the different schools. CUNY, Columbia, NYU, New School, Juilliard, all these different schools around the city. And different schools have their different flavors. Some of them are kind of militant. Some of them are very adamantly nonviolent. You know, they all have their different organizing styles. So this was a real negotiated thing. And there were people who were opposed to this idea of having an occupation, because they didn't, not that they were opposed in principle, but they didn't think that it was the most strategic thing to do, or necessarily the moment to do it, because we knew that N17, as we were calling it, was going to be such a big day. But yes, it was planned. There were, people had different roles. Like, some were going to go inside and take this building sooner, and then invite, have a banner drop and invite other people in, and other people were flyering the crowd. So not everybody in the crowd that day, and there were thousands and thousands of people, knew about this plan, because of course you can't openly plan an occupation, but there were several hundred people, students from around the city, that had been involved in some way or another in the planning process.
So what happened when you actually went in and occupied the building?
Immediately, we, I myself spoke to the president of the school, and we kind of negotiated some minimum terms where we explained that we wanted this to be really an open occupation, so that, because the idea was, we're agitating around education and we want it to be open to all students, but students so broadly conceived that anybody who just wanted to take a role in their own education, we were considering a student. So what we negotiated right away was that anybody with a student ID would be able to come in, because I should clarify that the new school always held the first floor. So we have a security guard there, and that he never left, and we only had the second floor. But the very first moments, we negotiated that all students with student ID could come in, and then we negotiated further, I think the next day, that anybody we wanted to let in would come in. We kind of immediately started transforming the space into our own. People were instantly collecting food. We set up a little movie theater in one little pocket, and we were running radical movies 24 hours a day, and it was a good sort of quiet place to go if you wanted to take a break from stuff. We had a GA that first night that went on for a very long time, because the thing is that as soon with an occupation, you have to address logistical issues as well as political issues. And we finally figured out after 2 days that it would be better if we held different GAs to address those different things. So the logistical issues don't just include warm, fuzzy things like, let's get bread and coffee for the revolution. It's also, how much should we graffiti the space? And should we barricade the exits? And that kind of thing. We just started having, there was a GA a day, and, you know, sort of instant working groups that were formed. I was part of the education working group, by which I mean I helped organize speakers to come and talk about capitalism and talk about crisis and talk about student debt and talk about tuition and all of these things, so that we could keep it focused on the reason why we are having this occupation. But, you know, it had difficulties because, again, you have different political tendencies. People are comfortable with different levels of activity. And so it had internally a quite high level of conflict from the get-go. And that kind of was a fixture of this occupation for its entire 7-day duration. And there's still, like, some hard feelings between people about how and why it ended.
So as speaking to the political work side of things, because you said there was kind of a technical aspect, and there's also, or logistical, and there's political work that happens in that space, different perspectives. Given that you're a revolutionary coming from a particular direction, how do you see that work, as militants in the student movement and Occupy movements? what role do you see, you know, people such as yourself coming from a perspective having? How do we do that sort of work?
Yeah, it's tough to answer that question in exactly the way that you asked it, but I'll sort of do it this way, which is what I found myself doing in this event was not so much trying to persuade anybody on any political level, because as far as I'm concerned, it was such a compressed time that there isn't time enough for that, right? And you're not necessarily going to change people's minds, and they're entitled to approach their own organizing the way they want. But what I did find ended up doing was just a lot of sort of mediating and cooling of tempers and negotiating with people and trying to make people think of this as a community that they're part of and make everybody feel comfortable in such a way that nobody's going to say, fuck it, I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. But, you know, we also, this is kind of debatable too, because we also realized that we should have had more out and out political discussions, because that may have resulted in fewer people looking with suspicion at other people. And like these political disagreements manifest in really concrete ways. I mean, the issue of whether or not to graffiti or whether or not to barricade the fire exits or whether or not to try to tamper and shut off the smoke detectors, like these are things that people immediately have an opinion on, and they're not comfortable with the other side's conflicting opinion, whether or not to allow media to come in. And we ended up not allowing any media to come in the entire time. It was kind of like a constant deferral, like we'll let them in later, and we never did. And that ended up being, I think, a mistake, because it got us looked upon with suspicion. We had a welcoming table at the top of the escalator where people walked in, and unfortunately we didn't train the people manning the welcome table well enough, because instead of explaining what the occupation was about and what its principles or goals were, people at the welcoming table were just asking things like, are you media and are you a cop? And to a student who like walks up the stairs and hears that is going to be pretty offended. So there were some things, like there's no one more critical of that occupation than every single person who was involved in it. We know what we did wrong. And, you know, we like to joke that, you know, it was a wild success, right? Because it was just, so many things were so troubled about it. And now at least we've taken some lessons.
What do you think are some directions that the student movement should head in at this time, you know, learning from those experiences and moving forward?
I think that I'll start by saying what I hope it doesn't continue to do, which is we just spent, I think, 3.5 months trying to plan for a March 1st day of action that kind of never materialized. It was an attempt to make this a national call, first coming out of California, then endorsed by New York, and we were trying to get endorsements around the country to you know, have one of those days where students fill the streets and it draws some attention to the issue and they start seeing each other, and, you know, and that didn't end up coming together. I think that sometimes there can be fatigue in movements regarding that kind of activity. What I hope instead we end up doing is continuing to build good links with students at other schools. I think that in itself is such a radical thing, because I've been here for 6 years as a student, and I've never known people from, you know, Hunter or Medgar Evers or Columbia or whatever, and now we know each other, and you get to, you develop comrades, right? And I hope that, and I don't know myself how to do this, but I hope that what we can work towards is some kind of really radical action, like a tuition strike or something that really pushes the envelope on a broad systemic level, because we're being squeezed. I mean, it's tough to be a student in New York City because it's a really expensive city to live in. So a lot of us I myself have like 4 jobs just to pay my rent, and then I don't end up doing my work as a student, right? And so we've got to start pushing back in a serious way on all of these things.
Well, thanks for talking with us today.
Thank you.